Well, could we stand and love the great eternal God? We love you, Lord, and thank you today. In Christ's name. Amen. Brother Mike.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you today. We magnify your name today. You are risen, Lord, today. Praise God. It was Jesus Christ who said, I am Alpha and Omega. He said, I'm the beginning and the ending. He said, I'm the Lord which is, which was, and which is to come. He said, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. He said, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. And who again said in the previous chapter 9, to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be glory, majesty, and dominion and power both now on Easter Sunday, April 19th, and not only now, today, but forevermore. To him be the glory and honor forevermore. Let there be glory and honor to him today. Let there be glory and honor to him today. Sing it with us. And honor to Jesus.
Glory and honor to him. Glory.
Sing it.
Honor. Glory and honor to him.
Let there be today. Let's give him glory while we yet live. So many people are waiting to do it in eternity. He's already got people and angels doing that in eternity, but he needs people here on this earth magnifying him today. Praise God. I want to read to you today in Luke's Gospel, again, chapter 24. I want to remind you tonight, I'll ask all of our people that participated in the musical and drama Friday night, would they be here? Be a time of special recognition. Also, they'll be presenting to you again the slide portions of our plays that was Friday night. If you did not get to come Friday night, you'll want to see this part of it because I think it's a very touching part of the play. So be here tonight, and you'll be blessed again on Easter Sunday night. Praise God. God is no different on night as he is in the day. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were spoken in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name, or in his name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Can we just praise the Lord for just a moment here and thank him for his resurrection? Thank you, Jesus, for resurrection power. Thank you, Lord, for Easter Sunday, God. Thank you for every person in this room today. May we all today experience what Easter is all about, that resurrection power resident in the lives of hearts of believers everywhere the world over. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated today. The resurrection, I mentioned it a few weeks ago, a past event and a present experience. Most churches around our city today, and I'm not throwing stones, are talking about a past event. They're talking about something that happened. They're celebrating something that took place 2,000 years ago, and that's well and good, and we're doing the same thing today. But there's something else added to that story other than just a past event. There's a present experience that goes with that past event. We see in the life of Jesus Christ God's love for a lost world. John said it so well when he penned the words in St. John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. Everybody's candlestick the world over, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came into the world with his arms outstretched, saying to those that labor and to those that were heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Jesus reached out to everyone. He reached out to the harlots. He reached out to the whores. He reached out to the publicans and the sinners, the Pharisees. He reached out to everybody, whosoever will. He said, come unto me. I've got a plan for you. And in this place, this morning on April 19th, 1987, God is still reaching out to a lost and a dying world. I couldn't say it any better than to use something from the Bible today. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, the previous chapter, the which I read to you as Jesus was hanging on that cross, the Bible said he hung between two malefactors. He hung between two thieves. And I love these scriptures I'm about to read to you because they just express how it is really in our world today. The Bible says in one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if you really are the Christ, save yourself and save us. But the other man on the other side of the cross, answering him, said, he rebuked him and said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we are here because we ought to be here. But he went a little further and said, this man hanging in the middle here, he does not deserve to be hanging here. He has done nothing amiss, Luke said. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I see two types of people, and there's only two types of people in our world. There's one on one side of the cross saying, if you're really God, why don't you do something? And there's another one on the other side of the cross said, hey, shut up over there. He's dying for you. He's dying that you can have life. Remember me, Lord. There's two types of people, and Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, and he hung there on that cross that day, both arms outstretched to either side, knowing that one of those thieves was going to reject him, but he still died for it. He didn't withdraw one of those hands from that arm and said, I'm not dying for this type of people. But he rested out, I'm dying for this type that's going to reject me, and I'm dying for this type that's going to accept me. I'm dying for everyone today. And in this room today, there's still those two types of people. There's two types of people that says, I accept Jesus Christ. I know he paid the price. And there's those other that stand back and watch and say, let me get a little more proof of this matter. Let me see, if you're really God, why don't you do this and that? Why are there wars and why are there famine? Why are there violence? Why is all this happening? If you're really God, why don't you do something about it? That's the attitude of the world. But Jesus Christ died for everybody. He died for everybody. The resurrection, a past event and a present experience. There are many facts in the world today that you and I are called upon to remember. We are called upon to remember appointments. We have doctor appointments and dentist appointments and appointments to go here and appointments to go there. We try to remember people's names. We try to put those things in our mind because we need to remember a few things. And even in the past, we are called upon to remember a few things. The Bible, not the Bible, but history says, remember the Alamo. That was the cry of the Texans against Mexico. They said, remember the Alamo. Look what they done to the Alamo. Remember that, so we'll win this victory. They said, remember the Maine back in the Spanish-American War because of the sinking of the USS Maine and Havana Harbor back in the late 1800s. In World War II, it was a different cry. Remember Pearl Harbor. And it's interesting to note about all these things. Remember the Alamo, remember the Maine, remember Pearl Harbor. Is all those referred to a defeat? Every one of them referred to a defeat. But today, I'm asking you to look back further than just our American history. I'm asking you to look back 2,000 years to a resurrection, a past event, and a present experience. Is summed up best in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, where he said, remember, Paul said, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't believe in the gospel. Paul told Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And I call upon this congregation, man, woman, old, young, whoever you may be, to remember on this Easter Sunday a past event. We're not remembering a defeat, but we are remembering a victory today. We're celebrating more than a holiday. We're hiding something more than Easter eggs. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only remember it, like the rest of the world is doing today. And you've probably seen it in the paper this morning. I don't take the paper, but I know there's probably headlines that something about the risen Lord, remembering that he rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, but doing more than remembering. There's a present experience to participate in the resurrection, to take part in the victory of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If you don't believe in the resurrection, the gospel is of none effect. Everything else done, said by the apostles, no matter how great a miracle it may have been, no matter how marvelous a revelation it may have been, to the resurrection, there's nothing greater than the resurrection. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. Everything that happened thereafter is a falsehood. It had something, some sleight of hand was behind it if the resurrection did not happen. But if it did take place, then Christ is God and the Christian faith is absolute truth. Paul said it so well, if Christ be not raised, he said, your faith is in vain and ye are yet in your sins. It's amazing to me that the day in which you and I live today in 1987, how few really believe in the little resurrection of Jesus Christ. In a recent survey of 10,000 Protestant ministers, 7,441 ministers responded to this. To the question of the little resurrection of Jesus Christ, 51% of Methodists said, no, I don't believe in a little resurrection of Jesus Christ. 35% Presbyterian ministers said, no, I don't believe in a literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. 30% of Episcopalians said, I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 33% of Baptists said, I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul cried out that if there is no resurrection, then your preaching is useless. I said, if there is no resurrection, you're wasting your breath. You just will sell your churches and go home if there is no resurrection. If we don't believe in a resurrection in this place today, we may as well dismiss and go home and quit lying to ourselves. We may as well do as Paul suggested, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die if we don't believe in the resurrection. It will force you today to answer a question before I'm through today. Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? If your answer is no, I don't believe he did rise from the dead, then it's best for you to leave this place and forget about religion, forget about trying to make something out of God, and get on with life and enjoy yourself while you have a chance. But if Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, if he did really rise from the dead, then it's time to stop playing church and make a commitment to Jesus Christ and get on with the serious business of living for God. If Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, this life is not the end. There is more beyond. The grave is not the dead end street, but that's just the beginning of the street. There is more beyond the grave. One day you and I are going to stand before our Maker and have to answer everything that we've done in this body. This life is not the end. This life is not the end of it. There is more beyond. To tell you the truth this morning, today, the enemies of this gospel often understand it better than us Christians. Let me say that again. The enemies of this gospel often understand it better than Christians. They don't believe it, but they do understand it. And many Christians who do believe it are confused about it. You would think in Jesus' day that the religious leader, having hung Jesus on a cross, would have been satisfied that day as they took him down and placed him in that tomb. You didn't think they'd have been satisfied. Oh, our job is through. We've killed the Nazarene. We've got him out of our hair now. We may as well get back to business. The disciples did get back to business. They went back to fishing. They went back to going out and getting back to the old ways. But you know what those religious leaders did? They didn't stop. For you see, Jesus was dead and gone. But the Bible says those enemies remembered Jesus' teaching. The disciples didn't remember it, but the enemies remembered it. Caiaphas remembered it. The other priests remembered it. The Sadducees remembered it. The Pharisees remembered it. They remember what Jesus said about rising from the dead. So what did they do in Matthew 27? It says, now the next day. They didn't even give it time to get a good burial. They didn't give it time the flowers to even get a little wilted on the tomb there. That followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. And you know what they asked Pilate to do? They said, you command some guards to go with us and make sure the disciples don't come and steal his body and say that he's risen from the dead, lest the last error be worse than the first. They were scared. Can you imagine? I can imagine Pilate, because the Bible is not really a humorous book in some places, but really right here it is, because Pilate probably was humored by it. They come and ask him to guard a tomb of a dead man. And Pilate responded and said, well, go ahead and make it as sure as you can. Go ahead and try to guard it the best you can. If he comes out of that tomb, buddy, you're in trouble. Anyway, so go ahead and do the best you can. But Pilate let him go put a guard around it. These religious leaders understood when Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple and in 3 days it'll rise again. You destroy it and it's going to raise back up again. They knew Jesus was talking about. They knew he wasn't talking about a physical temple over there made of marble and wood and stone. They knew he was talking about his body, and they were afraid that he was going to rise again. You say, well, they must have been afraid, according to the conversation in Matthew 27, that the disciples are going to come steal the body. You've got to be kidding. They didn't really believe that. The disciples wouldn't even stand with Jesus while he was on trial. The disciples wouldn't hardly get close to Jesus when he was going through all his agony and suffering. It was that they weren't scared of the disciples coming. The disciples didn't have enough didn't have enough brains about them to go do anything like that anyway. But they were really afraid that Jesus Christ really was the Messiah. The enemies of the gospel, they do understand. They do understand all about it. They know all the ins and outs. They don't believe it, but they do understand it. They got their guard. They sealed that tomb. But what happened anyway, despite their guard, in spite of that seal, Jesus Christ could not be bound. He broke that seal. He scattered those guards. And he rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. It wouldn't have mattered what they had put around that tomb. They could have put machine guns, if they'd have had them, and nuclear weapons. It wouldn't have stopped Jesus Christ from coming out of that tomb. If Roman soldiers had been there with all the Roman soldiers and all the Roman Empire, if all of them had been there, they couldn't have stopped him coming out of that tomb. They would have been powerless to stop the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's plan called for a death. It called for a burial, and it called for a resurrection. And on that third day, Jesus Christ come out alive and triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. The religious leaders, after it happened and after he came out, they said the disciples came and stole the body, and they telling us that he rose from the dead. They said his body was stolen. But Jesus Christ was seen of many, Paul said, some 500 for 40 days after his resurrection. Jesus Christ spoke in the scripture I read in your hearing today, these words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the prophets, or in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day. He said, disciples, it was in my plan to do it this way. This wasn't an accidental death. They didn't take my life. I gave my life, and I took it up again. It had to be that way. It had to be this way. God had no other plan. He died. He was buried. And a lot of people's life in there. Because most of you are going to die, and you're going to be buried. And nobody's going to wait by your tomb to see if you're going to come up again, because they know you're sleeping until God does something for you. But in Jesus' case, it was an entire different story. He died. He was buried. But the story doesn't end there. It doesn't say that's the end of it. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning of it, because he is risen today. He is no longer in the grave. He has risen triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And Revelation said he's alive forevermore. This event really happened. It really happened. This past event really took place. Easter is more than bunny rabbits hiding Easter eggs, having holiday festivities, and all that's well and good if it does not supersede the reason for the day. Easter is about our risen Lord. Not just a past event, but a present experience. Jesus' death represents repentance. Jesus' burial represents baptism. And Jesus' resurrection represents the Holy Ghost living in the lives of hearts of believers. Romans 8 verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The resurrection is a past event, but not just a past event. It is also a present experience. And since Jesus Christ is no longer in that tomb, and it is empty now, and a lot of people are going to roll that stone back over the tomb because it's empty, and come back to church next Easter and roll the stone off and have Easter service again because of the empty tomb. But it's more than just an empty tomb. Where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus now? You can have a service over an empty tomb if you want to.
And that's great and good, but there's more to it than just an empty tomb. Where is Jesus at? Where is Jesus at now? If he's not in the tomb no more, where is he? 1 Peter 3:22 says one place where he is, he's gone up into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers being made subject unto him. But before he went back to heaven, he tarried some 40 days here on this earth, not only for the establishment of this great truth that you and I get to preach about and testify about and rejoice in, but also to comfort his disciples and to give them that last great commission before he leaves this earth. He commissioned them. Some 500 seen him alive after his resurrection, and now he's gone back to heaven. But he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. You can have services over empty tombs if you want to, but there's more to it than just an empty tomb. There's an experience that goes with it. Luke 24:49 says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They couldn't do nothing until the power was to come down from on high. What is the promise of the Father? It's the Holy Ghost. It's that resurrection power. It's the Holy Ghost. Joel, the prophet, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament said, and it shall come to pass afterward. 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 After what? After the birth? After the life? After the death? After the burial? And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's what's going to happen after it. That's what's going to happen after. That was the reason for it. You can rejoice over his birth at Christmas time. You can rejoice over his life all year long. You can rejoice over his burial and his resurrection at Easter time. But what comes afterward? What is it afterward? Is it just a past event that you're celebrating? Or is it a present experience that you're rejoicing in? John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It was Jesus Christ himself. He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And about 10 days later, after he went back to heaven to be there on the throne forever and ever until time comes for him to come back and gather his jewels home. And they were on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said when it was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire. And the Bible said it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not just a past event anymore, but a present experience living in the lives and hearts of human beings. The Holy Ghost, that resurrection power. And Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Peter, said it is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That experience is what Easter's all about. It's more than just a risen Lord, but it's a risen Lord sending back his Spirit to dwell in lives and hearts of believers. And there may be those in this room yet today, you don't accept this gospel. You don't believe in the resurrection. You say to me, preacher, you don't have proof of the resurrection. And I could show you the Bible like I've already done this morning, that that's proof of the resurrection, but you would immediately point to the fact of who wrote the Bible, the apostles and Jesus Christ himself writing the Bible. But today, I've got more proof than the Bible concerning the resurrection. I said I've got more proof than just the Bible about the resurrection. You say, well, how's that, preacher? How are you going to prove the resurrection? You wasn't alive 2,000 years ago when it really took place. Yes, I was. I was there. I was there. I done lost some of you. In fact, I was buried with him. I was buried with him. I know that he died. I know that he was buried. I know that he rose again. For you see, I felt the coldness of the grave around me. I was buried with him. Well, how did you do that? How was you buried with him? You see, I was baptized with him. I went through that. That's my burial. I went through just like what Jesus went through. I went through the burial. I'd already died through repentance, and I went through that burial. Well, you see, we just don't believe on something here today. I said we just don't believe upon something today like most people do. We just don't believe upon something. We have experienced something. We just don't believe on it. We've experienced it. We know about his death. We know about his burial. We know about the resurrection. We know about the spirit that raised Christ from the dead because it lives in the hearts of believers. We have experienced it. For you see, I say we because there's more than me here this morning that have entered into his death. We have entered into his burial, and we have entered into his resurrection. And in this place today, we don't simply believe the gospel. Most preachers are going to stop this morning with just, you believe the gospel? We've experienced the gospel. I said we've experienced the gospel. You can go on about your empty tombs if you want to, but I'm going to go on about my experience that goes with the empty tomb, because that is what Easter is all about this day. It's about the infilling of the Spirit sent back to those who would just open up their heart to it. Jesus is teaching us all he talked about. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and the water I shall give him, he shall never thirst again. He said in that last day of the great day of the feast, he cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And they shall be waters springing up the innermost being, springing up the life everlasting. And this spake he of what? The Holy Ghost, which they that believe, you got to believe before you do anything. I'm not getting around. I'm not going over believing, because you never get to the experience if you don't believe. But don't stop at believing. Don't stop at believing. There's something after believing. What happens after believe? Paul asked those in Acts 19. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's more to it than believing. There's an experience of Easter that can be yours and mine today if we'll only ask him, because he said, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you if you'll just ask me for it. And this day on this Easter Sunday, April 17th or April 19th, 1987, may it be a landmark Easter Sunday. May it be unlike any other Easter Sunday in your life. May you come to the realization that it's more than just a past event somewhere back in history, but it's a present experience here in 1987. Until Jesus comes, it is a present experience for you today. Praise God. Does anybody believe this today? Or am I just wasting my breath? Does anybody believe this gospel today? Has anybody experienced this gospel today? It is for you, and it's for your children, and your children's children, and to those that are afar off. It's for everybody. It's for whosoever will. Salvation did not come until Acts 2. The experience part of it. Have to have it. Four Gospels are great because they lead you through the life, death, and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you must know that. You must know the price he paid for you. You must know the blood that he shed for you. You've got to know all that. But once you get through that, don't stop at John, the 20th chapter, and say, that's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want. I don't want no more. There's an experience waiting for you down in Acts somewhere. You say, was it necessary? I'm not going to preach about the necessity of it today. I'd rather have it today because Jesus said it was mine than to argue with you over whether you need it or not. You just ought to want it because Jesus Christ has given it to you if you'll only ask him. Easter is a great day when you understand what it's all about. It's about Jesus coming and Jesus dying and Jesus being buried and rising again for you. He stretched out to you today. That won't accept this message. His arm still stretched out to you. You may walk out of this place still refusing what he has for you, but his arm's still stretched out. It'll reach past them doors. It'll reach all the way to your home. It'll reach you as you go through the job during the week, and as you drive your automobile, it'll be there. He'll be reaching for you, and it'll be reaching for those on the other side that are going to accept him today and are all going to come to him today. He's reaching for everybody and anybody, whosoever will, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come. Let him come. As we stand together today and we rejoice in our hearts, everybody rejoices. Anybody that's normal, anybody that really believed this gospel rejoices over the fact that he's come and he's brought life. Oh, is there anyone today who wants an experience? Not just something that just happened, but something that really lives in you every day of the life. Every day, every day, every day. Is there someone here today as we sing together? We invite you to come and experience Jesus Christ. Is there anyone? The blood still flows. The name still works. And the Spirit still falls. Today. Today. Easter does not mean much to people that only believe in the past event. It really doesn't. Although they come to church and come to service and hear the preaching of the word all over this city, it really does not mean much. Because all they are rejoicing over is just an empty tomb. But if you can go on from that empty tomb to Luke 24 and obey Jesus' words and said, I got something for you more. You've seen my miracles. You've seen me multiply the bread. You've seen me teach and heard me teach. And you know all there is to know. There's an experience waiting for you. I wonder if we could bow our heads today. We sing something. And there's someone today that say, preacher, I heard your preaching today. I felt the Lord talking to me today. I heard his voice deep down. You say, preacher, I heard it today. Can you raise your hand all over this place? Someone that heard it. Someone that heard it. Someone that heard it. It's more. It's more. It's more. It's more. Jesus Christ calls today. He calls today. He says, come. Come. Come and experience new life in Jesus Christ.